If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're in the Rock and Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios in New York. They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rock and Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, is brought to you by Geico. Great news, you can save a bunch of money if you switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Pain-free Friday, we're rolling into a Saturday in New York. Still Friday on the West Coast. We want to hear from you. Getting ready for the wild cards on Saturday and Sunday, NFL style. First up, Bills Texans at 4:35 on Saturday from Houston. And we know J.J. Watt is back. He'll return. Obviously, a huge welcome to the Texans defense. Without Watt this season, the Texans pass rush win rate is just 27%, off the league average pace of 42%. With him, the number rises to 45%. He has 5 sacks in 6 career playoff games. Carver High, the guy has missed the whole season. Is he going to show up and perform at a high level and have a bunch of sacks?
We'll see, right? You know, that's the unknown of this game. He hasn't played in 8 weeks. He's coming back from an injury that is normally a 3 to 4 month injury, and he's coming back in 2 months. So how effective is he going to be? I don't know. I honestly think that this game is it's a lot bigger than J.J. Watt. I think that there's other things going on.
So Tony Carreni's ref crew is one of the worst in the league.
No question.
They throw tons of flags.
Yes.
So the whole game going to be 17 to 20 flags?
Probably.
He averages 17 a game.
Don't all these games end up being like that, though, when you get to these playoff games? I mean, it's
honestly, can they just let him play?
I mean, this is all year long. Whether it's a regular season game or a playoff game, what are we doing after every big play? You're looking for that little box in the screen, right, to see that yellow flag sign come up? Isn't that what we're always waiting for? So all these games are going to be no different.
How will the Bills' zone-heavy defense do against Watson?
Look, I just think that the Bills, you know, the things that the Texans do really well, the Bills are really good at stopping those things. They just are. The Texans live on big plays. The Bills don't allow big plays. They've allowed the least amount of big plays in the NFL the last 2 years. So I think it's going to be hard on him. Is Watson better than Allen? Of course he is. But I think that Trey White's going to do his best locking up Hopkins. If Fuller doesn't play, I feel even better about it. I feel more, as we get closer to the game, I feel a lot better about it.
So the Texans' secondary sucks, a lot of people think. Will Allen finally have a 300-yard game ever? Will it ever happen?
I don't think it matters. If they win, it doesn't matter. I think that what they need to do is, the Texans have been bad against the run, too. Texans' D is like 27th in the NFL or something like that. Their red zone D is awful.
So run it down their throat.
And their red zone D is the worst. So what they need to do is pound a rock like they like to do anyway.
Right.
And I also saw they're one of the worst in the league in 0 to 15 in the middle of the field. All right, so get Beasley out there in a slot, run those slants right to the middle of the field, and work it that way. Short, quick throws. Let Allen move down the field.
Like they did against the Steelers.
Exactly. Do nice, simple stuff. Move down the field. Score points when you get in the red zone, and your D will do the rest. I just think the Bills do a lot of things better than the Texans. They just do.
Titans and Pats at 8:15-ish on CBS. The Pats were plus 21 in turnover differential during the regular season, which led the NFL. And Mike Vrabel has been stressing that all week. You know, don't turn the ball over. Duh. In a playoff game, the team that turns the ball over is the team that's going to lose. Derrick Henry will probably rush for more than 100 like he always does. He'll probably have a couple touchdowns, which he often does. He's got 16 on the year. Ryan Tannehill averaged 9.6 yards per pass this season, the 5th highest rate in the NFL in a season in history. Tannehill also had the highest completion percentage above expectation in the NFL, over 70%. Mafia, can Tannehill and Henry, with Tannehill throwing the ball and Henry running the ball, beat the Patriots?
I don't think so. I think that Bill Belichick's going to Derrick Henry to throw the ball. I think he's not afraid of him. It's his first start. I know he's had a good, you know, run here since he took over, but I think that he believes a lot of that's predicated on the run, that people are worried about the run, and they're getting up there, and that leaves holes in, behind them in the secondary. I think that he's going to sell out and stop the run and think, you know, be confident enough that Gilmore is going to be able to shut down their number one option, and the rest of the guys can do the job against whoever else is going to throw at him.
So I'm glad to see you guys are so excited about the wild card games. I can tell the fans, Mafia, are just dripping with an anticipation and excitement. They're just, you can see how fired up they are tonight on this particular program. They're just so amped up for the games that they're just, they can't even go to bed. These people are just up all night long partying, and they're excited for tomorrow.
They should be. I mean, I think these are going to be good games. I don't think, with the exception of maybe Saints-Vikings, I don't think any of these games should be a blowout where someone just runs away with it. Usually the Patriots, you know, obviously they're not usually playing on this weekend anyway, but usually they're the first game they're just going to blow out whoever they're playing. I don't think they could do that against the Titans.
Everyone here says it's going to be a close game. One guy says the Titans are going to win. Another says it's a three-point game. The computers say New England 73% of the time and by an average of 8 points. Scott in Boston on EEI. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Scotty, what's up? You took me quicker than I anticipated, but thank you. How you
How's
doing?
How's it going, dude?
Playoff football or what?
Of course I'm ready for playoff football. What do you think? I'm going to pick my nose all day?
I'm going to the Bruins game tomorrow. I get a big day. I got Edmonton at Boston. I'm going to the game and then the pass at night. It's going to be a fun day tomorrow.
You can't beat that. I hope it goes better than that Devils game up there last week.
The Bruins aren't as good as their record, but tomorrow's going to be Connor McDavid's in town, the best athlete in sports right now. Awesome. All right, let's get on football, Scotty. First of all, there's zero chance Brady's leaving after this year. I'm in the minority opinion. He's going to sign a one-year deal for like $26.5 million.
I don't think he's leaving there. I think it's ridiculous. I mean, you know, I remember the end with Montana. I remember the end with Favre and all that stuff. These things happen. They move quarterbacks. I have a hard time believing. I really do. I think Belichick would be willing to get rid of him. I think Belichick would have preferred Garoppolo. I think he would have been able to handle losing him. I think Bob Kraft is another story altogether. He's got his own problems off the field, but I think that he's a guy that I don't know if he has it in him, in his heart, to let him go. I just don't believe he'll let him go.
Well, here's the thing, too. You got to remember, when we talk about that, whenever you talk about him maybe leaving, people say, well, they did it to Montana. Okay, Joe Montana had Steve Young behind him. Brett Favre had Aaron Rodgers behind him. Both guys are Hall of Fame guys that they had playing behind him. Who does he have behind him? Stidham? No one's sitting there confident saying, oh, yeah, you know what? We can let him go. We can let the greatest of all time go because we got this guy that's going to be a Hall of Famer sitting behind him. That's not happening right now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, 855. Scott, what do you think is going to happen in the game? 855-212-4 CBS.
And I know I'm speaking national, Scotty. I'll close with this, buddy. I know you got a million people want to talk to you. I'm telling you right now, it's playoff time. Now watch how they flip a switch. They don't look that great during the regular season. They're going to kill them tomorrow. I'm on them. I got them for money, -5. They're going to kill them. Free money, Scotty. Bang the Pats hard tomorrow. Thank me Monday.
It's in the bag, baby. It's done. It's in the bag.
Nothing
to worry about. Flip the switch.
Piece of cake. Terry in Ohio.
Hey, Pharrell. How you doing tonight?
What's happening, brother?
Oh, not too much. This call is probably more for Carver High. I was telling your call guy there. Carver, do you remember where Jim Kelly went to high school at?
I know it was somewhere in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it was East Brady High School. He played for East Brady. I went to a school called Carn City High School. We were their main rival. And when I was in elementary school, I watched Jim Kelly play high school football.
How about that? Number 12.
Yep. I thought you'd like that. It'd be pretty cool. Yeah, he was very good. Whenever he played us, he obviously kicked our butts those 4 years.
I would hope so.
He played. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was like in fourth or fifth grade because I graduated in 86. But I think he graduated in Miami, what, in 84, 82 or
86? I watched him play at Miami, and I got to tell you, I watched that 30 for 30. Did you watch that thing on the Bills going to all those Super Bowls?
Oh, yeah, of course.
That was painful. I got to tell you.
Got to tell me.
That was painful. I mean, that is the most unbelievable story ever, that they went to four Super Bowls in a row and lost them all. That's great. And what, to the Cowboys twice?
Giants, Redskins, Cowboys, Cowboys.
Unbelievable. It's just, it truly is unbelievable. That guy, that team was so good. That's what was crazy about it. They were so good. Good hearing from you, Terry. They were so good. They kicked everyone's ass in the league. It didn't matter who they played. They kicked everyone's ass. And then when they were in the Super Bowl, they lost. It's just unthinkable. You can't even explain it. It's surreal. But then again, I mean, not four in a row, but the Vikings did it, right? They lost. They couldn't win it. And then it really is amazing to me. I've had this conversation over and over on the air over the years, is that, like, that Steeler team that won 4 in 6 years, they get no, in my opinion, no love, no recognition whatsoever. Bradshaw, Knoll, they get absolutely no, they don't even mention Chuck Knoll as one of the great coaches of all time. That's amazing to me. What that guy did in Pittsburgh is absolutely unbelievable. All he did was, that was the worst franchise in the league. Do you understand when they came into the NFL? When they came into the NFL, they were the worst team, hands down. And that guy won 4 Super Bowls in 6 years, and they don't even mention him. He doesn't even get mentioned. I mean,
well, yeah,
they talk about Pete Carroll better than Chuck Knoll. They talk about a lot of guys better than Chuck Knoll.
Yeah, they do.
You got to be kidding me. He never lost. He never lost. He won 4 of them. Shut up. I don't even want to hear it. I will not listen to anybody that doesn't recognize that guy's brilliance. Shut up. They treat him like he never coached in the NFL, the media, the national media. They really do. It's absolutely laughable to me. Neil in Oklahoma City, you're on the bench.
Hey, Pharrell, I'm just checking with you to see if you, what viable upsets maybe be left in the last 3 bowl games.
I have to look at the last 3 bowl games. Well, first of all, obviously, you mean not like the national championship game?
Well, you got Southern Miss, Tulane, Louisville, Miami, Ohio, and then the national championship game.
All right. Well, I'm just pulling it up now. I have to look at this stuff. I can't just do this off the top of my head from remembering what the games were. What is left? Louisiana and Miami of Ohio?
Southern Miss, Tulane, Louisiana, Miami, Ohio, and then the championship game.
And why am I not seeing you're right. Southern Miss, Tulane. And is that, and then the other game that I just mentioned, is that it? There's 2 games and the national championship game, correct? Yeah, I can tell you if it makes you feel any better what I did. I have them right here. I could care less at this point. In those games, I went Tulane to win, Southern Miss to cover, Louisiana to win, Miami of Ohio to cover the 14. And then I'm not telling you who I'm betting on in the national championship game. This is too valuable to me. Now, after I hit all 4 bets in the semifinals and I get all these smartasses telling me about my picks, all I do is make people money, okay? So screw you, 6 ways till Sunday. I hit more games than anybody anywhere, and I'm going to hit that game too. So I hit all 4 bets in the semis, so kiss my ass. There you go. And what could be worse, honestly? What could be worse than Louisiana and Miami of Ohio and Southern Miss and Tulane? Now, God bless you down in New Orleans and everything, but those teams both suck. All those teams suck. Do they not? I mean, honestly. Although Louisiana did win 10 games, and didn't Louisiana Tech beat Miami? But that's a different Louisiana team I'm talking. But both, all those Louisiana teams, LSU, Louisiana, Louisiana Tech, they all had good seasons. Louisiana won 10 games. Miami of Ohio won 8 games. I wouldn't walk around the corner to watch either one of those games. Now, tomorrow is that Southern Miss Tulane game. How do you think that's going to do up against NFL games? Now, that's at 11:30 in the morning.
It's in the morning before the games.
I'll be watching Premier League and playing basketball. Thanks. Looks like I'll miss the Tulane game.
FA Cup tomorrow.
Oh, and that's even better. It's the third round of the FA Cup.
That's right. No Premier League this weekend.
No Premier League. It's all FA Cup.
FA Cup this weekend.
I'm all for it. I got to hit the DVR. I got to tape all those games. Call the show, you femmes. Let's talk wild cards, 855-212-4CBS.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4227. That's the number to get on the bench. That other bowl game that they're talking about, there was one tonight, by the way. Ohio beat Nevada 30-21. Ohio covered. It was like 6.5. Louisiana, Miami of Ohio is Monday night at 7:30 Eastern. So I guess we'll be in here for the second half of that one, right? Louisiana and Miami of Ohio in the Lending Tree Bowl down in Mobile. What a thrill that'll be for everyone. And then a week from that, right? That's another week you wait for the Clemson-LSU game. How embarrassing is that? So they played the semifinal on the 28th, right? And then they give them 3 weeks? Is that what it is? How long is that?
It ends up being about 2 weeks and two or three days, whatever it is. It's just all, listen, they should have played.
New Year's Eve.
New Year's Day.
New Year's Day.
Day is when it should be. You know why it's not? It should be New Year's Day. Every year, both games, 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock, end of story. That's what it should be every single
year. But instead, the Rose Bowl win.
And then play, you know, the Monday or 2 Mondays after that, whether it's 10 days or 2 weeks, you know, however it works out date-wise. That's how it should be.
So it's Monday, January 13th, that they're playing the game. They might as well have had it on the how about they could have waited until the day before the Super Bowl. I mean, if you're going to wait this long, why not just keep waiting?
I mean, they could have did it this Monday. I mean, it's why not? What's wrong with 8 days? What, these guys play all year long,
every week.
They couldn't play. If you were going to do it Saturday the 28th like they did.
Is anyone even going to remember that they're playing in 2 weeks?
It's such a long layoff.
Well, you know, ESPN's going to cram it down our throats. But does anyone really care at that point?
No, they don't. I think it should always be that first, you know, Monday, that 7th, 6th, 7th, whatever it is, you know, depending on the calendar change. You're going to play the 20th, that's fine. But then that first Monday, January, it ends and it's over. Just like, you know, March Madness, you know, that first Monday in
April that's
is the end of the tournament. Like, to drag it out like this, it's like where they're talking about, oh, maybe they'll push the Super Bowl back with, you know, a longer season stuff. And it gets like middle of February, people are like, really? This is going too long.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Clemson, LSU. And so it's still a week from Monday, so what's the point of talking about it now? Drew Brees is certainly doing it at 40. What's he turning 41 in a few weeks or something like that? He threw 15 touchdown passes, 0 picks in December alone, finished the regular season with a career-best passer rating of 116.3, despite missing 5 games because of a thumb surgery. And the Saints have the number one run defense over the last 2 seasons in the NFL. Do you think Dalvin Cook Mafia will be able to run against that number one run defense of the Saints? Did you even know that they were the number one run defense?
I didn't, because they've at times been pretty unimpressive. I mean, a lot of it's been on their secondary and the injuries that they've had. I mean, the beginning of the season, they were an awesome defense, and then they kind of slipped up towards the end, to me, in my opinion, letting some of these teams score. I think they're a good defense, and I think they're going to have a good battle with Dalvin Cook. I think he'll get some yards. He's not going to go off. I don't think he's going to score like, you know, 150 yards. I think he might still get 50 to 70 and not be as effective as he usually is, but still have a decent game.
Carver, how do you think Alvin Kamara will be a huge factor for Sean Payton against the zone of the Vikings? Safety zone. They're going to have something. They got no corners.
He was hurt for most of the year. It seemed like they kind of played it safe with him for most of the year. And you kind of saw the last 2 weeks him starting to get that little bit of jump back. So I think he's playoff ready, and he'll be a big part of it.
Cousins is 0-15 outright, 1-13-1 against the spread, against teams that finished with at least 12 wins in a season. The Saints have won 13. The outright winning percentage is the worst by any quarterback in the Super Bowl era. Meanwhile, New Orleans is 11-3 against the spread since week 3, the best mark in the NFL. Wow, that's staggering.
But wait, you got to throw out everything he ever did in Washington. That's not his fault. They just had a crappy team, and there's some games we're going to pick out here and there that don't count either, right? We could play PA style and just pick out what games we don't want to count so his record's a little better.
That's what he did.
That's exactly what he did. He's like, yeah, anything in Washington just doesn't matter.
So the computer said New Orleans wins 63% of the time by an average of 4.5 points. That means they would cover the 8. Carver, how do you think the Vikings will cover the 8? Now that you know, you're past your I won't bet on the Bills spread, but now that you're betting on all the other games, what do you like with that number?
Saints.
Saints laying the 8.
Yes.
Mafia.
I have a little trouble laying that much. I think that the Saints should be able to beat them by that much, but in a playoff game with the defense for them that's good, it's solid. I know there are problems on the back end, but they have a solid running game. They can slow you down a little bit. I have issue taking that many points. I think the Minnesota has a good chance of coming.
Do you think that there's any like aura going on, like the karma, because of all their postseason bad luck that the Saints have encountered against the Vikings, against the Rams, against the referees? Do you think there's a chance that, is there any chance whatsoever that they could come out and literally kick the Vikings' ass 6 ways till Sunday? Just literally just blow them out. Is that possible, Carver High? That they could get, you know, they've had so much bad luck that they take it out on the refs, and they dance in front of the refs when they score touchdowns, and they get them maybe a few flags for unsportsmanlike.
Yeah, look, I don't think that this is the spot to start doing stuff like that.
Put on a show.
You got to win, since they're playing this weekend, you got to win 4 games to be able to rub anything in anybody's face. So they got a long way to go.
John Fass, your Eagles are banged up going into the game at home in Philadelphia against a team that, in not so many words, owns them. I mean, they have literally, you know the numbers, right? It's staggering.
I do know the numbers, yeah.
A 5 straight against them, have not lost to the Eagles since 2008, have won 7 of 8 matchups between the two. In fact, the Eagles have not won 2 in a row over the Seahawks since 2001 and 2002. Does any of that bother you whatsoever?
None of that bothers me. What bothers me is Zach Ertz, even if he does play, is coming off a lacerated kidney. The right side of the Eagles' offensive line, which has been great all year, Lane Johnson is questionable, hasn't played in a couple weeks. Brandon Brooks is out for the year. That's what concerns me, and the weapons Wentz has to throw to, which he's done very well these last 4 weeks, but this is a step up in competition. That's what concerns me, and so does Russell Wilson, who scares the hell out of me.
And what about your guy Wentz has been on fire, but he's never actually played in a playoff game.
No, he has not.
And the other guy's played in Super Bowls.
He has.
He's pretty clutch.
He's awesome.
They can't have 5 turnovers like they did the first time they played.
And they won't. And they won't. I mean, they're a different team now than they were then, no doubt. And Seattle is a step up in competition, but this isn't the Seahawks team that's gone to, you know, those 2 Super Bowls in back-to-back years or anything like that. You know, the Eagles will not be intimidated by Seattle. I don't think they care what those numbers are, that they haven't beaten them in so long. I think Seattle is probably a slightly better team, but the Eagles, especially defensively, are a different team at home. So it's going to be a really close game either way. It should be a low number, which I know it is.
They're 5-0 outright as a playoff home underdog in the Super Bowl era, winning all but one of those games by at least 13 points. So we'll see what the Eagles do.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So do you think when that Patriots game is on tomorrow night that they'll spend how much time talking about Tom Brady being his last game with the Patriots? The whole night? Are they going to stick that down our throats?
I'd have to set the over-under, just times that they mention it. Could this be Tom Brady's last game in Foxborough? Is that how many times will they mention that? It's a CBS game, so it's Nance and Romo.
12.
Nance knows him better than most guys, so I mean, Nance probably knows he's not done. 7. I'll set the over under at.
I'm going 12.
I'm going 12, and if they're losing in the fourth quarter, I'm going 20.
Yeah, you see, that'll up it. You know, if they're down 10,
in game betting, Mafia. In game betting.
But they're not going to be. They're going to win a game.
Everyone thinks the Titans are going to win the game.
If they're losing like 5 minutes left in the game, every time he takes a snap, every play he makes, they're going to talk about it.
It says here that Josh McDaniels, the NFL's most wanted man, still has some explaining to do, according to others. What does he have to explain? Why he dissed the Colts?
You know what? I thought about this Colt thing with him the other day, because I always make it a big point how it was so wrong what he did to the Colts, saying that he was taking the job. they go to Super Bowl and you know, a week later, it's I don't want the job anymore. And then the Luck thing happened this offseason. Do you think that maybe from the time he took the job, now Luck ends up playing another year, we know that. You think that maybe he got a hint that maybe Luck wasn't all so into it, and that maybe something like what happened this past offseason wasn't that far away?
So you say McDaniels knew that Luck
not
was
knew that he was going to retire, because I don't think, but maybe just
thought
talking
he was
to
gonna,
him
maybe.
That maybe, because when this happened over the summer, I mean, you heard Ursa and all these other, you know, say that, well, you know, this is something Andrew's kind of been thinking about for a long time. I'm not saying that a year before, but maybe just sitting down, I'm assuming that Josh McDaniels talked to Andrew Luck before he was taking the Colt job. Maybe he kind of thought, I don't know if this guy's going to be around the whole time I'm going to be here.
Do you think his offense sucked this year?
I don't think that it's on
him. It was 15.
Listen, it's...
But he's had tons of success
there. They don't have the same weapons that they've had in the past. Brady's 43 years old. He's going to get a job eventually. But the job I think he's eventually going to get, you know, depending on how long Bill wants to sit around, is the one that he's, you know, waiting for there. If he takes a job,
do you think that that guy is anywhere near retiring?
If he takes a, that's what I was just about to say. If he takes a job, whether it be this year or next year, that's how you know Bill ain't going anywhere anytime soon.
If McDaniels takes a job,
if Bill was even close to leaving, why would you leave? You're going to get that job. I think if you see him take a job this offseason or next, it's a sign that Bill ain't going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, you're probably right. Out for the Seahawks, Dwayne Brown, Michael Kendricks, Malik Turner, questionable, Jerron Brown, Mike Lupati. Those are all injuries. Aaron Rodgers, we can't fix everything on offense. We have to figure out what works. Wasn't I telling you last night that their defense is doing pretty well, all things being equal, the Packers? So now all of a sudden we're supposed to believe they have offensive problems? They have done well enough to win the NFC North and secure the number two seed, but they're not firing on all cylinders, it says here. Rodgers said he's tired of talking about it. And fixing the offense before they return next weekend is not realistic, according to people that think they know. Rodgers wants the team focused on finding what works and what we like from the first 16 weeks. He said, I think the timing's been off a lot. I don't know if it's going to get fixed. It's not going to get fixed in 2 days. It's just a matter of finding those concepts where the timing has been good, because there's been a number of concepts where we've looked good. The ball's been coming out on time. I've been feeling good about the rhythm, and the guys are getting open on time. But there's, I think, too many concepts that we've really tried to hit and keep hitting and make it work, and we just aren't on the same page timing-wise. So... doesn't a lot of it have to do with who they're playing? Don't they have to wait to see who they're going to be playing?
A lot of it has to do, too, with like his best receiver is out for like half the season. How many games was Adams out with the turf toe and things like that? So I don't think it's an issue of the offense as a whole. The running game's working. The defense is slowing people down. It's just that they're not scoring 40 points a game. So people are saying, oh, something's wrong. Aaron Rodgers isn't throwing 50 times for 400 yards. No, they're just being a complete team for once.
So McCaffrey was selected as first team running back and the top flex player in the voting by 50 members of the media who cover the NFL. The flex position was created in 2016 to reward players who epitomize the way offense is now played in pro football. McCaffrey's the guy. Saints receiver Michael Thomas and Pats corner Stephon Gilmore were unanimous selections. The second straight season, both made the squad. Lamar Jackson was chosen as the quarterback. Jackson and McCaffrey were among 14 first-time All-Pros. Eric Weddle witnessed the Jukes and Johnson Jackson firsthand. He said, when you get on the field and you get to the speed of what they run, it's tough. It says here, I mean, some of the plays I didn't know who had the ball because they run it so efficiently. Jackson is one of a kind. He's pretty special. The special class includes several multiple-time All-Pros. Aaron Donald, Bobby Wagner, both a fifth time. Zach Martin, Justin Tucker, a fourth time. Cordarrelle Patterson, a third time. Jason Kelce and DeAndre Hopkins made it. All pros for the second time, including Thomas Gilmore, Cardinals Chandler Jones, Cameron Hayward of the Steelers, Matt Slater of the Pats, Quentin Nelson of the Colts, Marcus Peters made it to the Ravens, Marlon Humphreys, and Tyrann Mathieu. The other newcomers were Humphrey, George Kittle, Ronnie Staley, et cetera, et cetera. T.J. Watt made it, Demario Davis, Eric Kendricks, Tre'Davious White of the Bills deserved to be there. He's a badass. Jamal Adams of the Jets, Minkah Fitzpatrick of the Steelers, Brett Kern, the Titans punter. He could be a factor in that game tomorrow night. Saints punt returner Deontay Harris, the only rookie on the team. He could be a factor in the game against the Vikings, certainly. Ramczyk, I think that's his name, right? He played college ball before transferring to Wisconsin. He played Division III. Saints right tackle makes it. There you go. Very exciting. Baltimore led the All-Pro team with 5 selections, and New Orleans had 4. There were 16 AFC players and 13 from the NFC. Always exciting to find out who the All-Pros were, right? There you go. Did you see Richard Sherman slamming all the people that doubted his deal that he got with the Niners?
Well, that's because he got a big bonus today for being on the All-Pro team.
Didn't he make like $2 million?
He had a big incentive for doing that. And I guess today he wanted to go laugh at everybody because, you know, that was one of the things.
He said he wanted to check the receipts.
Well, there's a lot of receipts.
Ohio State star Chase Young declares for the NFL draft. Someone asked me tonight, Carver High, who I thought the Giants should take at 4. And the question was, Jerry Jeudy. Do you think they should take Jerry Jeudy at number 4? Chase Young won't be available. He'll be in the top 2 or 3 picks, right? You would think.
I think that the Giants, they've got a lot of needs. You know, they've got a pretty good crop of receivers. You know, Shepard's good, but he's not healthy a lot. Tate's good. Giants need two things. They need to start building from the inside out, okay? They need a pass rusher. They're going to miss out on Chase Young probably.
Right.
They need an offensive lineman. You know, they need to start building from the inside out. That's what I would do if I was them.
Thank you, Madison. Jonathan Taylor is going pro. Did you see him in the Rose Bowl carrying guys down the field? It took like 3-4 guys to tackle him. That's when you know it's time to go pro, when all the rest of the college kids can't tackle you. Guy was a badass. Although Oregon won the game. So you can be a badass all you want. Georgia running back DeAndre Swift declares for the NFL draft after the Sugar Bowl win. Big season. 5'9". He's short. Strong frame, though, at 215. He's from Philly. As a freshman, he had 618 yards on 81 carries. Despite being behind Nick Chubb and Sony Michel, he became one of the more featured players over the 2 seasons, totaling 2,267 yards in that stretch. Very impressive. Arizona State quarterback Joey Yellen transferring to Pitt. Very exciting news. The only reason I told you that story is because I'm from Pittsburgh. I have no other reason to care about Joey Yellen. Now I'll be yelling in Oakland. Mississippi State fires Joe Moorhead. That escalated quickly.
Sure did. He did an awful job there for 2 years.
Yeah. How did he get the job to begin with?
That's an even better question.
I mean, where do they find these people?
He was definitely one of those, he got hired 2 years ago. We did that story.
Do you remember that? There you go. I told you earlier, Andre Drummond, trade rumors, the Celtics, Raptors, Mavericks, Hawks, interested. Most of the talk about the Atlanta Hawks possibly dealing with the Pistons for Drummond. We'll see if that comes to fruition. There's players that could be traded before the deadline. The biggest names, Iguodala, Gallinari, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Marcus Morris of the Knicks. He does not want to be traded at all. He wants to remain a Knick. Jay Crowder, who's toiling in Memphis. Chris Paul, Kevin Love, we've talked about him being traded. Portland, he wants to go to. DeMar DeRozan from San Antonio, Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge. Would you trade Aldridge if you were the Spurs? The way they've been playing, they've been terrible.
Yes.
Not big names. I guess he's still a big name. Tristan Thompson, Steven Adams. I'd love to get my hands on Steven Adams if I'm any team. The guy's a monster. Marc Gasol in Toronto. Jeff Teague. I'm not that high on Jeff Teague. I'm bored with him. Rudy Gay's as old as leather. Derrick Rose. Now they're moving him around like a chess piece. Taj Gibson. He's worthless with the Knicks. Absolutely worthless. Patty Mills with the Spurs. These are all names of people that could be traded. Marcus Morris, as I said, prefers to stay with New York. He enjoys losing. Kyle Kuzma, valued as part of a core despite league interest. Lakers don't plan to trade Kuzma, except a lot of teams want him. Right now, the Lakers, with 2.5 minutes left, are leading the Pels 116-109. So a little bit of a game going on at Staples in Lipstick City. We got another hour to go on a pain-free Friday. It's Pharrell on a Bench, and this is CBS Sports Radio.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.